Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Jesus said early on in his ministry, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He also said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean, suffer little children? What was Jesus saying? The word suffer has various connotations. The word as used here is not implying suffering or hardship, but quite the opposite. Jesus was saying, allow or permit the little children to come unto me, because Jesus Christ is a wonderful solace to their souls, just as he is a comforter to all the souls of them that come unto him. The King James Bible uses many elegant expressions that may appear archaic to our common everyday vernacular, but understand this. As a civilization becomes depraved, so does its language. America doesn't need new versions of the Bible, but a return to holiness and restored literacy. So, Indiana, as you awake from your beds this beautiful morning that the Lord has made, rejoice in it and know you have a glorious comforter to bring peace and rest to your soul in the midst of this volatile world. But the question is, who in reality is that comforter, since Jesus is not physically present in the world today, but sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father? Jesus told his disciples, as recorded in the Gospel according to John, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus has not left the world comfortless, but has brought us abundant hope and peace if only we put our trust in him and in his words. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead, and he will confirm all that Jesus said is of absolute truth. He brings the Bible to life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is determined by one principle alone, the total loss of self. Selflessness is the source of all virtue in man. In the same way, selfishness is the source of all sin in man. Whatsoever is done out of oneself will be burned up at the day of judgment. What is done out of obedience to the will of God remains. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will not ask how good your work is. He will only ask who does the work, his spirit or your flesh. The Apostle Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. These are not my words, but the words of the Holy Ghost. Take heed that no man deceive you, and hear what the Spirit saith." May this sermon series, The Messenger, bring you hope and comfort this day. Again, remember, each Sunday here on Freedom 95, a new segment of each of my sermons, about 26 minutes worth, are played with a short overlap of the previous week, to refresh your memory about the prior week's message. The topic of the Holy Spirit is immense, and I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you to listen this morning. The Messenger, Part 13. So, for by one Spirit, talking about us in the church here, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Baptism, water baptism. When Lauren was baptized, when you were baptized into the body of the local church that baptized you. That baptism puts you into the church. That baptism doesn't save you. It doesn't wash away your sins. It doesn't fill you with the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is what puts us into, the water baptism puts us into the body of Christ. We become part of the members of this body. There are Baptist churches that call themselves fellowships. They have no membership. And I disagree with that, and Dr. Dixon and Greg disagrees with that. You become a member. You get baptized, you're a member of that body. You're a member of the church. You can go from one church to another church. That's, you're free to do that, but you should go under good auspices, good relationships. You leave one church because you're moving to a different area because of work. That's one thing, but you're a body of a local church where you're baptized. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because, and then the whole rest of this chapter gives, Paul gives an anatomy, a lesson of the church. He makes it, he draws a parallel between your anatomy, anatomy of a man, anatomy of mankind, with that of the church. And that there are different types of people with different gifts in the church, and you come together and you work together and you apply those gifts and you become a functioning, vibrant unit together, working together in that church body. So that is the important aspect of this 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 13 is not dealing with
water, spirit baptism, it is dealing with water baptism, puts you into the body. It deals with the Holy Spirit, but the baptism is water baptism that the Spirit of God has given to us as the church. So Andrew Murray, in this next bullet point, from the 1800s, he was a pastor of a Dutch Reformed church in South Africa. Some of you enjoy some of his writings. You may have read some of Andrew Murray's writings. I know some of the people, some of the ladies on the South Side at IBT, they enjoy reading some of his books. He wrote a lot. He wrote here something very important. The universality or the Catholicity of Christians. It needs little grace to know where we differ from other Christians. Okay, it doesn't take much effort to see how we're different from one Christian to another, right? From one church to another church. But this indeed is grace. Where amid conduct that tries or grieves us, we give unity of the Holy Spirit first place and have faith in the power of love to maintain the living union amid outward separation. This expression, keep the unity of the Spirit, is God's command to every believer. It is the new commandment to love one another. We see in John 13:34. Keep the unity of the Spirit is the active exercise of loving fellowship. Study to know and prize highly in thy brother the things that will maintain this unity, which is not a not of creed or custom or choice, but the unity of the Spirit. He gets that from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. So, again, the body, each church is a body. One Spirit, the Holy Spirit dwells in each of us. And it deals collectively within the church. So there is this unity of spirit. We see in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This phrase of love one another appears 12 times in the New Testament. It says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. Is there something wrong with what's going on? And what these Bible verses say? Is there something wrong? Am I not seeing something here? Peace is not on the plate for dinner tonight, is it? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Two conditions. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. By the Spirit, Jew and Gentile converts are made one. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, the Holy Spirit. So the key thought here, only through the Holy Spirit can the cohesion of mankind exist. Innumerable ideologies ultimately create discontinuity and irreconcilable differences, resulting in perpetual conflict. Does that sound like things going on today, Blaine? Yeah? Total conflict. All our country was built upon the unity of the Spirit. All the religions got along. All exercised their doctrinal positions freely. And they got along after church, in the neighborhoods, at the job sites, worked together. We had civility in our culture. But again, when the Holy Spirit is taken away, just like we read earlier in the book of Ezekiel, when the Spirit of God is quenched, the Bible warns us not to quench the Holy Spirit, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. What happens? There is no peace. Peace leaves. Peace leaves. There's no peace. There's no rest. Society becomes disordered. And you have all these conflicting ideologies, you know, vying for power over the others. And we live in a time of no peace. Now, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit, sanctification. This is one whole aspect of the Holy Spirit that we haven't even dealt with yet. Sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives. There's the work of Christ and what he did on the cross, but then there's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Christ's work, what he did for you to be saved, is totally on him. It was all his work on the cross. All you had to do was believe by faith that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And that he rose again. Nothing you can do can save you except believing in your brain that that truth is something you're going to embrace. But now you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now you have to allow the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's a big part of the New Testament. Sanctification. What Jesus did on the cross, that's justification. But there's a sanctification of the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the big topic that we will deal with the rest of the time we deal with the Holy Spirit. Sanctification, your walk. Let's look at Romans. And we'll close here because this is a huge topic and we don't have all that time. But Romans chapter 8, first verse here is, by all the other versions of the Bible, have dropped the last phrase of this verse. Every other version except for the King James keeps this last verse in the Bible. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's where all the Bible versions ends, right there. And I've heard Jack Van Impe quote it that way. I have heard Charles Stanley quote it that way. I have heard Dr. David Jeremiah quote it that way. They leave the last phrase off. Who walk, there's a condition, this is a conditional phrase. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's the next few messages on the Holy Spirit. That whole little phrase is what we are going to focus on the next few Sundays, is that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's a conditional no condemnation, depending on the walk, the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, conditional. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You have a war. God did not give you a new spiritual body when you got saved. You still have that old flesh. And to allow the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to die to that flesh, to crucify that flesh, to not allow it to say, raise its ugly head and say, I want to do what I want to do. How many saw that video a few weeks back of that millennial girl in some college and university, and she's throwing a temper tantrum because she wouldn't let the speaker speak on the platform. And she's banging her arms like this, just throwing a grown girl in college. That wasn't Anna. Yeah. And she is just going like this, throwing a fit. Because she wouldn't let the speaker speak. And that is, it, basically, she wanted her own way. And we have to crucify our flesh because the flesh wants its own way. And we have to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way within this temple. And so it's this war. The war of the flesh and the war of the Spirit. And we'll deal with that as we continue on in this vein, on this topic of walking in the Holy Spirit in sanctification next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your goodness, your work in our lives through the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we would not grieve the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would get the victory in our lives to crucify the flesh, to allow the Holy Spirit to rule in our lives. We may not conform very much to the world. We may look a lot different than the world does. We may act different than the world does in every area of our lives. Lord, I pray that we would allow the Holy Spirit to work, not to grieve the Holy Spirit, that we would die to the flesh, die to our will, and that the will of God would reign in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would be with each person here. Direct them, guide them. I pray they would fall on their knees and pray to you in their quiet times, in their studies. Lord, that you would have full reign in their lives. You would be the king in their lives and not their own flesh, not their own will, not their own desire. That they will cast out the way of the world and apply the way of Christ, apply the way of the Word of God in their lives. And we see the destruction of the family across our country, as Satan is working desperately to destroy not only the church, not only government, but also the home. And Lord, the three institutions that you ordained, and Satan is trying to destroy all three. And Lord, we just pray that we can be overcomers in this latter day. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.
To rise the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to
This is Pastor Greg DeZula. Let me just leave this note with you. Vote another 4 years of President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. We need your vote. This is a contentious battle, and the church will be seriously under attack if we have a new president. Amen.